There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is the problem.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
You got nothing for me, Lou? Nothing funny on this Tuesday? Okay, Lou, I thought since you were up here an hour before, we'd have something funny to come into the show on. This is the Dutch Jones Experience, the radio program that mixes, well, just about everything together. We Christian militant attitude, the border, everything to do with martial law, the New World Order, with a wicked sense of humor that sometimes makes people mad. I want to apologize for the audio the last couple of days. We found out what the problem was. For some reason, the computer went back to its defaults, and it amped the microphone to 100%. You know, all those little settings. So those of you that are listening to about the last four episodes of the Dutch Jones radio program, the reason it's so overdriven, it's not Ole Ma's fault. It's not... It's computers. They're trying to take over the world, and they hate us. So that's why it was distorted. So I cranked it back to about 45%, and hopefully it sounds good. Because we're taking the audio off the soundboard into our headphones and into the studio monitor. So we depend on you guys to tell us when it sounds bad. And nobody said it sounded bad, but when I listened to the playback of yesterday's show and the previous three shows, oh, it was terrible. You know, it was like a bad Mexican lowrider going by with the bass all the way up. And it's bizarre to me. Well, I have to tell you, yesterday's show, it was a humdinger. I haven't had this much mail and feedback since I had guys from the Ku Klux Klan on talking about defending the Confederate flag and the ACLU representing them. You guys remember that about 8 months? Was it 8 months ago? It was sometime. Maybe it was last year. I don't even remember. However long ago that was. I've been doing the show so long. When we were on that other network... but we've got some people that want to get their word out on the other side of that story, and you know our rule here. It's an open forum. So, in fact, I think one of them's in the chat room today. I don't know if that's you or not, but there are some people involved with the case that want to put their sign out. We're going to do that tomorrow. So what we'll do is people on the other side of the case, if you're listening, and you give me a call tomorrow between – I'll make myself available at 3 p.m. tomorrow – and we'll talk off the air, so you don't have to worry about going on the air. I'm not one of those guys that's going to ambush anybody. You can give me a call to the regular studio line, 559-561-8225. The number's on the website. And what I will do, I will give you a chance. And if you want to come on the air, what was her name? Lane Lawless said anything that you would like to rebuke, facts in the case, things she omitted, that's fine. That's fine. Like I said during the show, I don't know if Shauna is innocent. You and I weren't there. But it's an interesting case, and I still say there's something weird going on here that the media hasn't run with this. They should be running with this because everybody hates the Minutemen. Everybody hates the Tea Party. Everybody hates militias. Why are we not seeing this on CNN and all that stuff? So something's up. But that doesn't mean we're perfect here at the Dutch Jones radio program, and we strive for truth only. So if that is you in the chat room, I'm not going to say your name because you had said that there are some security issues. If you know, whatever you want to do, you call me tomorrow. We'll get to know each other on the phone before we go on the air, just so I make sure it's not – because we do have quacks. I had a lot of people – have called this radio show wanting to get on the air, and then when I do some background checking, check out their ISPs, they're not even the people they claim to be. I mean, you know, I try to have some diligence in this. That's why it took so long to have Lane Lawless on. Those of you may not remember, but she wanted to come on the show like 2 months ago, and I just kind of went through it and read all the menagerie of stupidity on the internet going back and forth, And the weight of it was that the same people that disliked me hated her. And I'm talking about the folks from, like, different Minuteman groups and stuff, because I'm a Campo Minuteman. I'm a Campo Minuteman. I don't like Gilcrest. I don't like the San Diego Minuteman. The only other group I like are the BPOX guys, and that's only because, is Minuteman in there? Minuteman's not here. I don't think Minuteman's in the room. But Minuteman's from BPOX, and he represents them well, so I trust them. The other groups, I'm here to tell you, every time I went, there were morons and idiots involved. And here's what I believe. Let me put this in a nutshell for you guys. I didn't get a chance to do it yesterday. If you have a public group that is open for public recruitment, you're going to get agitators and freaks. It's almost worse to have the freaks involved. You're going to get racists. You're going to get Nazis. You're going to get all these groups. And they're going to come, and they're going to destroy the movement from within, whether for a purpose or just because they're flakes. It's going to happen. I've never met Shauna. I think I've seen her once or twice when she was with Jim Gilcrest. I have to admit that when I was in NACA and a couple other places and things like that. But I was just a small Indian. I didn't step up and say, hey, how you doing? But I like the Campo Minutemen. I like the way they do things. I like the fact that they're just sitting back and watching. They're more like snipers. They're not shooting anybody, but you get there. They're more like shore watchers, I guess I should say. And on the other side of it, everybody's coming out of the woodwork saying, oh, these folks were saying they were going to do this, they were going to do that. I can't tell you a campfire I haven't been around on the border after a militia training, after a protest, where people didn't go. Wouldn't it be cool if? So I'm not going to take that to heart. But if you have another view of this, if you're someone that has knowledge in this case that was not expressed yesterday, and trust me, the stuff I read, I got a couple letters today that I'm like, wow, I didn't know that. And I've been scouring the internet. I've seen email exchanges back and forth that people have sent me. Oh, well, this is what so-and-so said. It's like all of a sudden Dutch is famous. I don't know. She's been on other shows. Lane Lawless has been on other programs. This thing has been discussed on other shows. I've seen that. I found archives. But I think the difference is that we're going to allow people the counter. You don't need a government agency to say, you need fairness. No, we're fair here. You know, as long as the people involved are honest. And you know, I like to talk to you on the phone a little bit. I am a trained investigator. I like to listen to the tone of someone's voice. I can't see your eyes darting around and your feet shifting, but I can tell by the sound of someone's voice and you know, at least get at least a halfway decent chance of knowing if they're just blowing smoke. But in the interest of fairness, I will allow the forum to be used for other people. Unlike that other network I was on that just wanted everything to be happy-go-lucky and smooth things. That's not what we do here. We talk about the hard, disgusting things sometimes because that's reality, folks. It's reality. So if we ruffled feathers, good. That's what we want to do. We want people to come out of the woodwork and think about these things, talk about these things. So tomorrow I'm opening the forum. I can't do it today because we only have an hour, and I don't think I can't give 2 hours. To be fair, I want to give somebody 2 hours if they've got the info to fill it with. But remember, today is Tuesday. What's the date, Lou? I can't see it here in my eyes. Tuesday, January 4th, 2011. I'm doing good so far with the year. January 4th, 2011, and being it's Tuesday, it is Code 20 Day. Code 20 Day, of course, is our effort to get Steve Klein from AbolishIslam.com on here. Hello, Chuck. Is this the same Chuck I was emailing today? Just give me a yes or no. That way I'll know. Welcome in here. If not, just say hello. But we like to put forth these different groups. However, with Code 20, we give it our 100% endorsement. I know the people involved with Code 20. I like the way they're doing things. I like the fact they're working with former Muslims who have converted to Christianity over in Pakistan and Africa and China and everywhere else, and we support them. Now, one of the things, good. So just so you understand, I'm not talking behind your back, Chuck. You're welcome to come on tomorrow. I'll give you the full 2 hours to tell your side of the story, and just give me a call tomorrow after 3 p.m. and we'll set it up. And if anybody has questions for you in the chat room, you know, if you don't want to answer them, just tell them not now. You'll do it on the air. We're going to have a training up here, a practice training. I'm not going to give the date out for these people that want to be part of Code 20. We've decided we were hoping that other places would offer the training, but let's face it, we're suited for it. It's our calling here with our local militia here at our ranch. So what we're going to do towards the end of this month, we're going to bring up some test subjects, some literally little old ladies who want to learn how to use firearms, who want to get involved in the Code 20. Remember, I told you, God is calling all of his people to be defensive and watching in this jihad against us. They waged war on us. We didn't wage it on them. It's been going on for 1,500 years. So what we're going to do at the end of the month, we're going to bring some little old ladies up here, and we're going to throw them in the mud and scare them. No, just kidding. We're going to try and make it as pleasant as possible for them. But what Code 20 wants to do, and I really encourage you guys tomorrow, if you get the chance, listen to what, or it's tomorrow, today, listen to Steve Klein today when he talks about cell warfare and how we're going to have to deal with this someday on our own land when the population reaches about 3% of Muslims, Muslims per host, MPH, remember that, miles per hour, Muslims per host. Once we reach about 3%, the violence is going to start here. It's the same formula in every nation. We're not going to discuss moderate Muslims, apathetic Muslims, jack Muslims, or any of that stuff. We focus on the reality that when the populations reach 3%, they get violent in every single host nation. So we're going to have like 1 or 2 day trainings up here for people to start their own Code 20 sections. Now remember, Code 20 is zip code. In every zip code, we want 20 militia people. Whether old ladies, young men, whatever. We prefer men, but if that's all we can get, just like the French Resistance, we will take what we can get. So Code 20. We're going to train people. They'll come in for a few hours. They'll be in the classroom learning the history of militant Islam. They will learn the reality of militant Islam. They will see. They will learn what politicians are traitors to our Christian nation. Whether or not this nation stays a nation for, you know, I don't know. That's God's will. But we are falling apart, and when we do, all of these enemies of liberty are going to come at us. So don't get all caught up that I'm just focusing on Muslims today or whatever causes today. Tomorrow it'll be something different. The next day it'll be something different. We have many enemies, so we have to prepare for all of them, whether it's the Sodomite agenda, whether it's the liberal agenda, whether it's the Fabian socialist agenda. We have to prepare for all of them. That's the key. So, and then I'll, along with another person who I'm not, this person, we're going to give him a code name, you know, and if your identity, you want it to stay, you know, persona non grata, you want to stay incognito, you want to stay, what's the other word for it, nom de guerre, you know, let me know up front. Let me know up front that the name you're using is something that you don't want released. And we'll take people out to the range. I'm going to start out with pistol. I think that's the best way. Everybody can have a pistol in their drawer. Everybody can carry a pistol in their purse. And we're going to train people in tactical pistol stuff. The same stuff I learned in the military, same stuff I learned in law enforcement, same stuff I learned in transport, same stuff that I learned that was even better at Front Sight and DFT and through, what was it, what's ATAC Academy. All the instructors that I've gone to, I remember the stuff. The NRA safety stuff, we'll start there. And we're going to teach these people how to use that weapon that they're purchased. Now, so many people, and in good faith, they go out and they buy a handgun and they don't know how to use it. It'd be the same as going out and buying a chainsaw and saying, hey, I'm going to open a logging company, a firewood company. It's just, it's not wise. You need to learn how to use that tool. You need to learn how to use it. And we're going to train you how to use it for defensive purposes. We'll teach you defensive firearm tactics. So if the day ever comes, God forbid, and it's probably more likely that a drug fiend will come in your house rather than a, you know, a jihadist. You know, I pray that it never comes to that. I don't want to be fighting someone who's willing to blow himself up. I mean, to talk about uneven odds. But we want to do that. So in the future, we haven't settled on a price yet. So it's probably going to be $100 to $150 a class. And just so you know, we're not going to make a lot of money off of it. We're going to pay the instructors, we're going to pay for the facilities, and we're going to use the money to do the usual things that you do to promote an idea. T-shirts, websites, those kind of things. So we're not going to get millionaires. We're not like the guys at Front Sight. We're not going to become millionaires off of this. So you're not going to get an ad from me saying, millionaire radio show host wants you to join him. No, it'll be like, hey, thanks for coming out once a month. That $100 that I made off that whole thing, you know, I use it to buy more beans and bullets. So be looking for that, and we will open our doors here. We have the full approval of the pastoral administration here, meaning Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, who will be here Thursday. Don't forget, you missed him last Thursday because it was a holiday weekend or week. So we, what did we play last Thursday, Lou? What sermon, do you know? No. Lou doesn't remember. Anyway, but he'll be in the person here, and we're going to talk more about militant Christianity, more about A lot of people seem to want to get into eschatology. A lot of people have that bailout Christian attitude. I'm just sitting here waiting for the rapture. So we're going to discuss some maybe that on Thursday. I don't know. And, of course, you'll be able to ask questions. Don't forget to go to the website, dutchjones.info, dutchjones.info. Now, I have not checked, but as far as I know, the fees for last month are still around $5. Now, we've got electric bills to pay. We've got internet bills to pay. Little Lewis and his heroin addiction, or methadone. I guess it's methadone now. Are you trying to kick the heroin addiction, Lou? Are you actually trying to kick it? No. Anyway, we've got costs here, and if you can help out, that would be greatly appreciated. But above all, spread the word about this radio show. Talk about Liberty Tree Radio when we're on there for an hour. Everybody's saying they want me to do 3 hours a day. It's already costing me an arm and a leg to do 2 hours a day. In fact, we had to cover last month's expenses out of our family fees, and so we, you know, we sacrifice. So just keep remembering us in your prayers that we will find a generous donor and that people that have made promises for January will come through. That's all we ask. That's all we can ask. Let's get on to some topics in the news. And I know you guys already have heard these. End of time stuff, birds falling from the sky, hundreds of thousands of fish dying. And what is the government saying? Oh, we think it's a lightning strike or fireworks or somebody peed in the river. And then all the video shows all the government goons wearing, you know, full MOP 4. I don't know what the civilian equal to that is. You know, the paper suits with the respirators on. And, oh, just don't, everything's fine. Just keep moving here as they're picking up all the dead birds. And it's happened in two states. Two states, Louisiana and Arkansas. And they're saying it's all unrelated. I couldn't believe they tried to say that it was a lightning strike or fireworks. For one thing, blackbirds don't fly at night. And how would, and I'm not even going to talk about the fish. They're saying the fish are unrelated. It's probably some mass poisoning. And then when they did autopsies on the birds, their livers were pulverized. Now, I don't know what pulverized literally means in a scientific sense, but the first thing I thought was focused energy weapon. You know, that's how I think. You know, I'm a big sci-fi fan. I'm thinking, ah, some madman out there came up with a microwave gun and he pointed it at a flock of birds, but they don't fly at night. I still don't, you can't get around the fact that blackbirds don't fly at night. So something rousted these birds from their slumber, got them in the air, and then they died. So if they found a huge area where they were flocked and sleeping and pointed the weapon at it, maybe. But then it came up, and I can't believe I didn't think of this because I'm always making fun of these guys. But in this case, I'm like, huh, HARP, high-altitude radio program, is that right? Is that how it's called? HARP, up in Alaska. You know, the guys that make hurricanes, affect the weather, bake your brain when they want to, punching holes in the ozone. They're saying maybe HARP did it. And then I'm like, well, I don't know, chemtrails, maybe chemtrails did it. And then today we get the second one. The numbers aren't in yet, but it's in the hundreds. A gigawatt from the Chinese or the Ruskies, Swamp 81 is saying, yeah, you know, don't think that we're the only ones with a HARP type. HARP does exist. It does exist, for those of you that don't know. It's a radio antenna array up in Alaska somewhere, and they say they use it for testing the ionosphere and stuff. But like with everything else, they tell us 10%, and they tell us it's for our own good and research, and it's usually for weaponization of something, weaponization of the ionosphere, weaponization of radio waves. And it's just weird to me that they're stepping back so fast. High altitude auroral project. Boy, that just sounds almost obscene. Thanks, Warland. High altitude auroral project. It says HAP. Or they're just using the R in there. Yeah. I always thought it was high altitude radio project.
HAP.
Yeah. So that's, but they're using the R from the auroral. Like a Bora Aurora. I can't even say these words. But, and we're seeing, like, yesterday, zero chemtrails in our area. Zero chemtrails. Everything was fine. Everything was nice. And so, I don't know. It's like, but I thought they just naturally occur, you know, and that's why they're there. But one thing, if you find a dead bird in your yard, don't touch it. Just because of the known biologic risks. You know, you've got avian, you've got END, avian, oh, I forgot it now. Yeah, there's all these END. I used to know all these diseases. Exotic Newcastle disease. Thank you, Lou. Exotic Newcastle disease. You've got West Nile virus. There's so many things that go on in birds that leap to men. what better way for an enemy entity or New World Order freak, you know, government agency to get us sick than put a bunch of dead birds in our front yards? Don't touch dead animals. I keep telling Lou that, but he keeps coming back with all kinds of stuff going, look, I'm a good Lou. Look, I'm a good Lou. I brought you a dead bird. And I'm like, Lou, where'd you get it? He goes, I found a dead outside.
I never said that.
Huh? Oh, and yeah, my daughter, Anthea, God bless her. We're going to have her this weekend. Yay. She just picks up everything and brings it to, look, I found this dead bird. Look, I have the,
I found a feather.
Yeah, I found a feather. Here's another feather. We have become guinea pigs for the next war, is what Warland's saying. Yeah, I believe that. I really, or not Warland, Swamper81 said it. Sorry, my eyes aren't too good today. I really believe, we know for a fact, you look at what they did to the blacks testing syphilis out on them, the subways when they would drop different flu viruses to see how fast they would go. They test the epidemiology by putting what they consider to be neutral or non-aggressive, non-lethal, that's the word I'm looking for, contagions out there, and then the doctors all have to report in. Every time you go to the doctor's office, they ask you all those stupid questions. All that data gets put into a computer and sent back to the Center for Disease Control, and they look for trends. When I worked for FEMA, it was my job to look at those trends and try and figure out what they were doing. Not on a medical level, but on a response level. I was an emergency services officer. And what we were specifically looking for were symptoms of anthrax and other weaponized smallpox, that type of stuff. And every day, two or three times a day, I went and looked at the stuff that CDC was popping up. That's what they're doing here. They released something that, and the birds may even be collateral damage. They probably didn't even think that the birds would do it. Because avian stuff, they're really frail. That's why the canary in the coal mine, you ever hear that? They would bring a canary down in the coal mine because it would die quicker than a human being would if the air was bad. If oxygen gets below 8% or whatever, or there are noxious fumes, the canary would die. So they would keep canaries with them. That's where canary in a coal mine comes from. So they released this agent, maybe in the water. That's why the fish got it. And specific, you know, genetics play a huge game in this. Specific breeds. And then one in New Orleans, it was, I think it was some other kind of bird, too. It wasn't, is something going on with their website, Lee? I see you got the hosting page. They may not have even considered the birds if this is a biological weapon. And on all fairness to our evil government, it may be something outside the government. This may be corporate pollution. This may be one of the new kingdoms. You know, they released something by accident in the area. And we'll never know the truth. And this will probably fade away unless it keeps happening. And, you know, it's like the beginning of a bad zombie movie, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, this avian contagion gets released, and first the birds go. I haven't heard of anybody getting their eyes picked out by red-spotted blackbirds. But keep an eye on it. Yeah, except for coast to coast.
That's for coast to coast.
Yeah, coast to coast. What for coast to coast? What do you mean?
Topic.
Yeah, it's a coast to coast topic, not really for us. Although I do love zombies. I do love zombies indeed. Hey, back to a more generic and pleasing comment, getting off the sci-fi stuff here. Let me see what I got here. All my email was mostly about Shauna. Shauna, let's see here. Here we go. Oh, the Greeks are building a wall to keep refugees from Turkey out of their, where is it here? I got to click on it. I got to see more. To keep Turks out of their country. Istanbul, Turkey. The United States is not the only country searching for ways to control its borders. In hopes of stopping the entry of thousands of illegal immigrants, Greece has announced a plan to build a fence along its porous border with Turkey, its neighbor to the east. Now, originally, the fence was to be 128 miles long. However, after heavy media criticism in which the proposal fence was compared to the one along sections of the U.S.-Mexico border, it was reduced to just 8 miles long and 9 feet high. So they have political correctness in Europe, too, in Greece. Along with the weakest point of the border near the Greek town of Orestia, or it's O-R-E-S-T-I-A-D-A. Now, according to Greek Public Order Minister Christos Papatousis, I love these Greek names, More than 100,000 people entered Greece illegally last year. We get that about a month on our southern border, right? The country was reportedly the only member of the European Union that saw illegal immigration rise last year. Which, funny, why would anybody want to go to Greece? You know, you've got them cutting off all kinds of social services. They're in an economic crisis paralleled only to that of probably California. Now, Greek plans to build a border fence draws fire in Turkey. Sakis Mitsotakis, this is showing the image here. You don't care about the image. Immigrant children peer out through the fence of an immigrant detention camp in the village of Falakio on the Greek-Turkish border. Man, I wish we had refugee camps on the border. Could you imagine if we rounded up all the illegal aliens, kept them, you know, on Otay Mesa in Southern California and made as a sign to the others coming across, hey, no prosperity here. You will be arrested and you will be held and deported. Now, the Greek public has gone beyond its limits in terms of the capacity to welcome illegal immigrants. Papapoutis, I don't even know how to say his name, said, according to Greek news agency ANA, Greece cannot take it anymore. We plan to build a barrier on the land border to block unauthorized immigration. He won't even say illegal. The plan has drawn the condemnation of human rights organization Amnesty International. It's clearly a European confession of failure, Amnesty's Wolfgang Grenz told a German newspaper Monday. Grenz said that by allowing Greece to build the fence, the EU would break its own principles regarding human rights. The right to invade a country? And we want to be like Europe? Both the Turkish government and the European Commission have said the border protection is a matter for states to decide themselves. Too bad we didn't have that right here in America. An average of 200 illegal immigrants reportedly crossed into Greece from Turkish soil every day. That's nothing. At the height of this thing when I was in Campo, we would see that just in our 30-mile sector. And that's just what we saw. They mainly came from Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Africa. Yeah, that's where I want people coming from into my country. I don't blame the Greeks for this. Many were seeking asylum as refugees within the EU. Others were migrant laborers seeking work inside the EU. About 90% of all illegal immigrants that enter the EU come through Greece, according to the officials. Wow. Just like 90% come through California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. In November, EU rapid border intervention teams called RABITs, I like that, rapid border intervention teams, RABITs, were deployed along the Greek border. However, their effectiveness as a deterrent to illegal immigrants was called into question, as many of the people crossing into Greece actually sought out authorities to speed up their entry into the EU asylum system. We're going to take a break right now. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. Check out the website, dutchjones.info. I'll give out the telephone number when we come back, and you can talk about the birds, Turkish illegal immigrants, or anything else you want to talk about related to liberty. We'll be right back.
The swarm of foreign immigrants who don't care about the population, who don't care if it's about...
It is time to organize. It's a time of war. It's time to revolt. And it's your time to show we are a people of a struggle. Hasta San Diego.
We got crime overtaking our cities. We got gangs taking over our streets. We keep handing out more and more welfare, though it never seems to meet their needs. What kind of culture are we cultivating? One where you never have to pull any weeds. If we don't stop this immigration, this great nation's gonna fall. Let's get a grip on immigration in the great United States.
It's high time we remember there, no. Too many whites came. We couldn't stop you. Too many blue eyes.
We are rapidly becoming another third world fascist state. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. How can we ever come to any solution?
said
going to take over all the political institutions of California. In 5 years, the Hispanics are going to be the majority population of the state.
You also made the statement that California is going to become a Hispanic state, and that if anyone doesn't like it, they should leave. Did you say that?
I did. They ought to go back to Europe.
And get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late.
Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I and get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great
and soldiers. I'm here at the order of General Robert E. Lee, commanding all Virginia forces. On April 15th of this year of our Lord, 1861, Simon Cameron, the Secretary of War of the United States, sent a telegram to our governor, John Letcher, directing him to raise 3 regiments of infantry to be sent to assist in suppressing the Southern Confederacy. Governor Letcher's answer is well known to you. But perhaps not his word. His wire to Washington stated, "You have chosen to inaugurate civil war. And having done so, we will meet you in a spirit as determined as the Lincoln administration has exhibited toward the South." 2 days later, the Virginia legislature voted for secession. Just as we would not send any of our soldiers to march in other states and tyrannize other people, so will we never allow the armies of others to march into our state and tyrannize our people. Like many of you, indeed most of you, I've always been a Union man. It is not with joy or with a light heart that many of us have welcomed secession. Had our neighbors to the north practiced a less bellicose form of persuasion, perhaps this day might not have come, but that day has been thrust upon us like it was thrust upon our ancestors. The Lincoln administration required us to raise 3 regiments. Tell them we have done so. Dismiss.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
The government is the problem.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens! What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for...
Dutch Jones, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
As the microphones come on, so goes the days of our lives. Or something. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. The DJstore.tk, where we sell our wares, is not up. It kept getting attacked last week, and as soon as I announced that I was going to do stuff on border issues, you know, with the with Shauna Ford and all that, it's just like, you know, the scummunist got alerted. Whether you hate Shauna or not, they don't like it when we talk about anything about the border. And we started getting a lot of hits over there, and things went down. So we're just going to keep doing it. We keep doing what we're doing, whether they're controversial subjects like, you know, possible homicides conducted by Minute people or just talking about the topic of the border. They hate it. They hate it when we talk about liberty. They don't mind when we talk about all the weird voodoo stuff like birds falling out of the sky. They just leave us alone. They figure we're tinfoil hat people. But the minute we get focused on something that they love so much, open borders, they come after us. So we didn't run the commercial, so DJstore.tk is down. Lou's going to try and get it back. Do you think you can get it up on another server tomorrow? Can you put it up on the .info server?
It is on .info.
Okay. So, yeah, Lou can get it back up tomorrow. So we can get that working, and you guys can go ahead and buy everything from us. Another thing that we found out is somebody called Coalition 1776. Is that right, Lou?
Mm-hmm.
Took one of our videos to teach them war that was done with John... Not John Weaver. Who was the who helped us edit it?
Quaid.
John Quaid, the actor, before he passed away. In fact, it was the last piece of video he worked on. Took our video, chopped it up, and put it with a bunch of images of illegal aliens and Pelosi and all that kind of stuff. I keep telling you guys this. You can use our creations. Just don't chop them up. Use them in their entirety. You can hand out to teach them more all you want. We don't care if you pay us $15 for one of them. And then you dupe it, and hand it out. That's fine as long as we're getting that initial $15. Or if you're handing it out for the cause and you've got a dupe, fine. You know, let's be honest here. It happens. It's not piracy when we're doing it to further the causes. But don't take our video and chop it up and put it with yours. And then it turns out that this guy's some kind of Nazi, too. This coalition of patriots. He's down there on the border in Arizona. He's one of those groups that's... with the MSM and I don't even know all the different Nazi groups. And you know how I feel about Nazis here. So do not chop up our videos. The pastor told me about it Friday night. He's furious. I sent an email off to him and told them, you have no permission to do this. I filed a complaint with YouTube. Problem is, we don't copyright our stuff. We don't get into giving jurisdiction to the federal government over our videos, so we may have no protection over it. This is a gentleman's agreement or gentlewoman, depending on who did it. Do not use the Church at Cahuilla. Do not use our images. Do not use the Dutch Jones show and chop it up. You have the right to take this show, half-hour block in its entirety if that's all you want to do, but don't edit it. We know what happened when Little Nicky did that. Little Nicky over there at First Amendment Radio Talk, F-A-R-T Radio, took stuff I was doing and changed it. It infuriated us, and we went after him, and look at him now. The guy can barely make it. Nobody's using him. He's falling apart. It's just bad. God will not bless you if you do those kind of retarded things. I'm not going to show up and beat you up or anything. I don't have that kind of time. But I may send Stacy after you with a wiffle bat.
Yeah.
And it stings when you get hit with a wiffle bat. So be wise in this. Don't take our show and chop it up. Don't take our video productions. Don't take... right now there's one going around out there. What's it? Join a Militia Today. Somebody took that from our church and spread it around. So we figured it's already out there. That's fine. The pastor went to Montana. We haven't talked to him since he's come back. He brought several copies of that video, joined a militia today, and was going to hand them out in Congress in Montana. So that's cool. Maybe if some politicians, some political droids get it, maybe it'll wake them up. Montana's a good place, though. I don't think they have a lot of scumminess in office there. What? Yeah, maybe it'll educate some idiots there. One of the things we did today, get your guys, let's just keep pushing each other. We went out and bought more long storage food today. We got Crisco, cans of Crisco, boxes of Corn Flakes. You're going, what do you want with Crisco and Corn Flakes? You shoot a rabbit, you take the Crisco, you take the Corn Flakes, you take some flour, you take an egg, you roll the rabbit in the crushed up Corn Flakes. Ooh, Crisco has an indefinite shelf life. Now, we were looking at the cheaper stuff. The cheaper stuff has animal byproducts in it, so I don't know how long it stores on a shelf. Crisco is all vegetable fiber and stuff like that. And this is going to shock you guys. Friday night, I started eating broccoli. I told you guys I'm going to try and get healthy. I'll be honest with you, nobody's asked, so I'm going to tell you we haven't been going to the gym because we can't afford it. It's $50 a month to go to the gym, so we've just been walking around here chasing each other with wiffle bats. We're gonna start eating steamed broccoli. Lou's gonna die because he refuses to eat it, and we're gonna grow a ton of broccoli in our garden because it's one of the good winter products that grow up here. So make sure you're getting your long storage food stuff together. We do a little. What'd we spend today? We spent about $150, $160 today. Half of that was long storage stuff, cans of chili, things like that. It's not stuff we're gonna consume during the week. It's probably 2 weeks worth of food for us, to be honest, because we thin it. We got a lot of ramen. I took it downstairs. I got a clean 55-gallon drum. I put 15 pounds of oatmeal, a bunch of rice, ramen, a ton of soup mixes, gravy makings. What else did I put in there? I put the Crisco, because it lasts. I put the ramen. I put two cases of ramen in there. We put enough food for 30 days for the three of us. You know, there's four of us here, though, from time to time, so that's what we do. But we put enough food in there easily for three people for a month in a 55-gallon drum, and we sealed it up. And we put bay leaves in there. Remember the bay leaves. The bay leaves keep the critters out. Even though we're sealing them up in 55-gallon drums, I don't want insects getting into our rice and beans and everything like that. So don't give up, even if you can just... And I know we've got people here. We're poor. We are living on $500 a month because we trade out rent for labor. If we had to pay rent of $500, $600, $700, $800 a month, we would be living in a van down by the river. But because we provide security and work and ministry to this facility, we live here. You know, we make a donation. And so we pay our electric bill, phone bill, all that stuff. That's why I'm always telling you guys your donations go to work here. You're not sending me $150 that I'm putting towards a new rifle. That's not the way it works. Somebody's saying I need to get a Doberman. That way I'll get into shape. Yeah, I think if the little Chihuahua chasing me around, where is he? He's sleeping on a lap isn't enough. But
if you get a trained gang
member. What was the one? What, you're talking about get a trained gang member?
No.
What? I can't hear you, Lou. Lou's got a joke, but he doesn't remember how to tell it. What's your joke, Lou? He doesn't have one. Maybe I should get me an illegal immigrant with a machete to chase me around up here. Maybe then I'd get the into razor. Shape. A razor?
The razor.
Oh, the razor. That was a comedy skit on White Collar?
Blue Collar.
I never know. Blue Collar. But, folks, if you're going and buying five cans of beans, get a sixth one and put that sixth one in a box under your bed. Every one can that you can store will be a meal for one person. If it's ravioli, SpaghettiOs, we're not even going to talk health here. We're just talking basic survival. You're going to need 2,000 to 4,000 calories a day to survive when this economy collapses, especially those of you in the cities. 2,000 to 4,000 calories a day. Now, if I can eat 2,000 calories a day and get some action going, you know, moving around, I'm going to lose weight. So in a survival situation, if it's cold outside, if you're running, if you're hiding, if you're carrying a 40 to 50-pound pack, I'm not one of these guys who goes, I had a 200-pound pack. Let's be realistic here. You want 25 to 30% of your body weight in your pack. You're going to need really good foods. But if all you can eat is Spam and beans, it's better than eating grass. It's better than what Nebuchadnezzar lived 7 years on eating grass, right? Am I right about that one? Bible check me on that, people. But don't give up on getting the food. We're seeing all these commercials to buy silver and gold. Silver and gold's only if you've got all your basic needs met. I was shown something that came from survivalblog.com the other day that I really like. They take a 2-liter bottle. They adapt it so that they can put like a shower head at the end of a hose on it. They hang it up and it makes a bidet. You wash your butt in the toilet like the Europeans do. Granted, you want to keep it warm and nice and flush, you know, nice. And yet you just keep the device in the bathroom. You put some soapy water in there, shake it up and let gravity feed it out and clean your bottom that way. You don't have to stock up on a warehouse full of toilet paper. We got a crick. No, we're not going to go poo in the creek, but we've got water that we can use to clean ourselves with rags. I said that earlier. We're not going to stock up on a bunch of toilet paper. Lou's going to have his own little rag. Stacy's going to have her own little rag. I'm going to have a beach towel. Your own little rag. You're not listening, are you? Instead of toilet paper. And you just keep a bucket with soapy water, bleach water. You keep that rag clean. That's what the pioneers did before. They didn't have a barn full of toilet paper. Come on. Luxury versus necessity, folks. A good thing to have in your bug-out food is unopened jar of peanut butter. Yeah. If all you can do is buy jars of peanut butter, high caloric intake, high protein, you can eat it by the spoonful with nothing else. Peanut butter's good, but like he says, Minuteman says in the room, if you're in, you know, it's going to freeze in Montana, you got to have a way to heat it up. Get some pocket stoves. Now, Minuteman sent me a link. We're going to have some pocket stoves available again as soon as we get the catalog and our stores back up. We're going to have some lower price between $5 and $12 stoves for you. Don't forget, and this is something that Minuteman brought up. I've been doing it for years. I did it on the border. Hand cleanser. The alcohol hand sanitizer is a great fuel for pocket stoves. About 2 tablespoons I found of hand gel, if it's got a pretty good alcohol content, will heat up your canteen cup. So anywhere you can get those, get them. If you can get alcohol wipes, you know, if they're pure alcohol wipes, real alcohol wipes, if they're the sanitary wipes, keep them for hygiene. But if they're alcohol wipes, keep them for fire starting and keeping your stoves going. You know, get all the little heat tabs you can right now. See, for us, our fuel source up here is wood. We're in the middle of a forest. We're right next to the big, gigantic redwoods. You know, we're not going to be environmentalists when that comes. We're going to be burning pine cones and stuff in our. We cook. We have a wood-burning stove. We're 5-6 steps ahead of everyone in the city. Can you cook? Can you cook in your fireplace? Or is it just one of those that are hooked up to natural gas? I was talking to some people that are moving into Las Vegas yesterday. I said, really, what are you going to do for water? Well, everything's city. What are you going to do when the power goes out and the water's not working? Well, we'll just boil it. Okay, what are you going to boil it with? Where are you going to get it from? It's not going to come out of the tap. So I gave him a real quick, you got to get out of your water heater. You got to have it stored. Las Vegas is not a place to be moving to right now. And I'm here to tell you that the look on this person's face was like, oh, because you know they put no thought into it. We chose this place. Well, I chose the place, and then I brought my wife and son here, you know, when I married their family. But I chose this place because of its survivability. Remember a couple months ago, let the process be your goal. The process of survival should be your goal. It's like anything that is an art. It's never finished. It's abandoned. And once you abandon it, you're not doing the right thing anymore. So the art of trying to survive for what's coming down the pike, whether you're one of these end of times people or whatever, the process should be your goal. It should be your lifestyle. There's a group of Christians in California here now that are saying that the world's going to end in May. I wrote him a letter and said, really, it's going to end in May. Would you please liquidate your assets, send all that money to me, and I will use it for my ministry because we think that, you know, I'm not going to – maybe God is taking them in May. I was trying to be nice. You know what I really think about that. He said, send me all your money, and I'll use it for those of us that are left behind to keep spreading the word. Mm-hmm. In 15 years, I've done that to about 8 different groups that said the end was coming, and not one of them has sent me any money. Well, you don't need it. Sell everything you have. Mortgage your house. Send me the money. You're being raptured. Show me your faith. Put your faith down here on the line. What do you need it for? And then these same people, you find out, well, are you continuing to pay your bills? But I thought you're leaving in May, especially in the, you know, April. I've had people say that, you know, midnight, this was going to happen on this day. I call, okay, you're leaving right now. You know, you're going out to the desert to wait for this great, you know, harmonic convergence. Give me everything you own. Put it, sign it over to me. Well, I might be back tomorrow and need it. Oh, so much for your faith. And then they always, you know, oh, well, God changed his mind. You know, it's ridiculous. We get them, they come through here all the time. Right now it's the, you know, the Y2K people. Everything was going to come to an end. I didn't think it was going to come to an end. I thought that the idiots would do something stupid and I'd have to defend what I got. And now it's 2012, the you know, I don't even know. Do they have a little number for that, like way one, Y12 or something? Y012, I don't know. But the Mayan calendar people, you're going to trust a calendar created by a culture that they ate their babies and sacrificed to a sun god. You're going to trust that calendar. It's ridiculous. You know, especially here in California. Maybe it's not as bad everywhere else, but these California freaks. My apologies to the freaks listening. But these California types that get into all this alternative lifestyle stuff, they think 2012's coming and the world's going to end. And you know what? None of them are trying to prepare for it. I don't know if they think they're all going to be saved by the Anunnaki when the planet comes by, depending on which one you believe, which myth. Every day we have to be about preparing for these ridiculous things that the crazies do. Because we Christians, who know the truth, know that no man knows the day, just the season. And we're here to make sure that our kin, that Christians that we love, have a chance. We can't force them. We can't drag them to this conclusion. We have so many good people that come by here. It was Mayan, not Aztec. Either way, Mayan, Aztec, same thing. That's the same dwarf and midget to me. Savages. Yeah, they're all savages. But thank you. Thank you, though, Swamper 81. I appreciate that. It was the Mayan calendar. I said Aztec calendar, didn't I? Mogollon calendar. Doesn't really matter to me. But yeah, that's a good point. We know what we're supposed to do. As they did in 78, well, actually 68 AD, when the Roman Titus under I forgot the name. Who was the Antichrist in Rome? Nero. Thank you, Lou. Homeschool. Nero ordered the destruction of Jerusalem. Yeah, which version of Nero? Jesus and Matthew told him, don't even go get your backpack. Just run to the hills. That's because these people weren't prepared. The Christians were already preparing and living in the hills because they knew this was coming. We're living in that same time again. They're about to destroy the temple, and I believe the temple is the United States. This nation's about to fall apart. Not because of Rome, not because God's going to smack it around, but because of our own doing as a people. And California, at the very least, is going under. Warland, I apologize. I told Warland in a private message that I thought it was the 20th of January that Governor Moonbeam was going to be sworn into office. He was sworn in yesterday. I thought it was the 20th of January, which is when most states, but our state did it on January, you know, the first working day of business in January, Warland. So I'm sorry I gave you the wrong information. Governor Moonbeam is the governor. He's going to raise taxes. He's going to cut benefits, which is going to do two things. It's going to make the corporate people angry, and it's going to make the gin and juice welfare crowd angry. They've got to come up with $28 billion somehow. $14 billion in cuts and $14 billion in taxes is his plan, roughly. Things are going to get real bad real fast as far as crime and social services go in California. They go hand in hand. The illegals are going to go nuts. Because they're not going to get welfare, they're not going to get WIC, they're not going to get all these handouts that they've been used to. Which is good. I'm glad he's going to do it. I'm glad he's going to have the guts that Schwarzenegger didn't. It's funny, this Moonbeam's coming in and he's going to do it. And we are doomed as a state, but you know what? We have to have a thrashing before we can find out how to rebuild this area. I'm not a prophet. Here's what I want to tell you. I think this state's going to fall apart. It's going to start to fall apart. The rest of the country is going to refuse to bail us out like they did in New York all those years ago. The rest of the country is going to say, forget about California. They made their bed, let them lay in it. Our states are hurting. And we're going to see three new states come out of this. That's my desire. Three: North, Central, and Southern. Let Southern rot. My apologies to all my good friends and loved ones in Southern California, but that's what's going to happen. It'll be the coastal regions in Southern California may bond, but those of us in the farming communities and the mountain communities, which are predominantly conservative Christians, I may not agree with their Christian doctrine, but that's okay. We're 80% there. And you're going to see a new formation here. If it survives, that's the best outcome I can come up with. Otherwise, I'm taking off to Idaho or Montana. I got people in both regions, Idaho and Montana, want me to move there. I got Nazis that want me to come in and set up radio stations. They don't listen to the radio show, I guess. No. It's kind of weird because I am not a socialist. I'm not a national socialist. I'm not a racist. But I'm here to tell you there will be a race war in California, whether we good-thinking white people want it or not. Because that's what the Fabian socialists want to happen to California. They want to punish those of us in the farming communities, in the rural areas, in the mountains. They want everybody living in cities in California so they can be controlled. And they know we're not moving there, so they're going to create a financial collapse. They're going to create a social distortion, as it were, disruption, I guess I should have said. I like the band Social Distortion. And they're going to unleash their great unclean upon us to punish us for what we've been doing to resist their great Fabian socialist dream. So if you're in a city right now, if you're in a major metropolitan area, you've got to do everything you can do to get out of there. Or otherwise, keep your ear to the ground and have a 72-hour lead on this. Those of you that have read Patriots, remember the people that took too long. People that waited to get out because, oh, it's not going to get that bad. It's not going to get that bad. I don't know if Florida is much better, Swamp Ready. When he's saying, I got rooms for rent here in Florida. Chuck Baldwin just bailed on Florida and moved to Montana. So I'm a little concerned about conditions down there. Now, remember, next hour is going to be Code 20 with Steve Klein. I almost said Steve Chapman. Wasn't he an assassin?
I don't know.
Steve Chapman was somebody I think I knew in college. Steve Klein is going to be calling up from AbolishIslam.com, AbolishIslam.com. We're going to focus on cell warfare tactics. We're going to give you – now, a lot of people are saying some of it's a little repetitive. Well, we get different people that listen all the time. If you've ever been in the military, how do you get the lowest denominator of your listening audience to understand the concept? Repetition. But if you notice, every show we take it a little bit further, a little bit further. We don't want to leave anybody behind in this. Cell warfare is the answer, folks. Creating your own little group of families. You know the deal. Tune in. Stick around. We'll be on Liberty Tree Radio here in a couple minutes. And we'll quadruple our audience. I see Mike sending me a message over Facebook. I'll try and get that. Tune in. Stay alert and get your beans and weenies ready.
I cry for my country, for the pain that it's been through. She's been made to suffer for the profit of a few. Storm clouds are out forming, winds of change now touch our shores. I hear forefathers are crying as the dream's been crucified. America, I show my love for thee with strength and loyalty. America, America, I show my love for you. Friends and family, mourning in the ignorance, while staying safe within a
dream. I will fight for freedom and raise liberty. I'd die for my country. Slay corporate dynasties, America. Now show my love for thee with strength and loyalty.
America,
America. Now show my love for you in all that I do. I see it in your eyes, the love you have inside. I'll never let you down as long as I have breath. As I try to change and rearrange the promise that I have with you, and I will pick you up and stand you up and set you back up on your feet. And after all I've fled and no one's left, I will always be there. I'll be there by your side and I'll never let you down. I cry for my people in this time of tragedy. I just want some answers so the truth will set us free. The truth will set us free. I say hallelujah.
Who will deny that Christ is the head of the church? And what human power has an impious presumption to invade his kingdom, usurp his authority, lay sacrilegious hands upon his crown rights, and with a state constitution flaunted in his face, proclaim the right of the state to challenge his ambassadors and put them under civil disability, nay, more, to assert the right to say to his messengers of life and salvation, you are commissioned by your head and Lord to go preach the gospel to every creature, but you must first come and comply with the conditions prescribed by the state and obtain from some blasphemous, drunken, Christ-despising, heaven-defying civil magistrate the authority to teach and preach in the name of Jesus. To the superficial thinker, this may seem to be putting the case too strongly, but it is only the inevitable logic of facts. The state cannot confer the right to preach the gospel. Therefore, it cannot take it away. Christ is the head of the church, God over all, and blessed forevermore. All power is given unto him in heaven and earth, and he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Welcome and heidi ho to all our listeners, and a great big welcome to Liberty Tree Radio listeners. We appreciate them picking up our feed. And this just... For those of you that know, that were listening yesterday, the story that we did on Shauna Ford just blew our emails and our websites out of the water. Our DJ store went down. I don't know if that was vindictive or what. So the djstore.tk is not up right now. That's why we didn't play the commercial roll in. But we have just got a ton of feedback, people that want to counter what was said about Shauna. people that want to that are involved in the case that want to get on. So we're going to try to set up some more time for some other people to talk, and just to be fair. And but that was an amazing show, and I apologize for the audio quality. Our computer went back to its factory defaults, and the microphone got turned up to 100%. We were taking feed off of the soundboard. It sounded great at the time, but it's still, go listen to it in the archives. Go to DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info, J-O-E-N-S, DutchJones.info. If you didn't hear yesterday's 2 hours, you've got to hear it. Nobody else is covering this story in major media. There's a reason for it. That's why we're doing it here. That's why I take chances on these underdog stories. And doesn't mean that I have great insight and know whether or not Shauna is innocent, but there's something going on here that needs to be examined. Well, it's Tuesday, and that means it's time for Steve Klein from AbolishIslam.com, AlterOrAbolish.com, and Code 20. Steve, are you there?
I'm here. Glad to be on. Glad that you're such a supporter of the First Amendment. That's why we have a First Amendment. Folks might not like it, but it's there, and when Dutch and I and the rest of you veterans raised our right hand to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, golly gee whiz, Wally, why do all oppressed people from all over the world come to the United States? Because we alone, of all of the countries in 6,000 years of recorded history, have a First Amendment. A First Amendment. Pretty interesting that it begins with religion. Well, why in the hell is religion so important to government? Well, that's what we're all about. In studying the law written on the heart, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, the law of nations, pirates and people from the south, like the Southern Poverty Law Center, a bunch of freaks, ghouls, and zombies. You can tell I don't like them because they don't respect the First Amendment. They're more concerned with people being offended than getting the truth. Well, Dutch and I will tell you that after a battlefield, it is a grisly, brutal place. And I remember years ago, I woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning, oh golly, about 20 years ago, and I just was really upset about 2 o'clock in the morning. And it had been 20 years since I'd been in Vietnam, and the reason I woke up so upset was I remember after a huge battle between two Vietnamese units, South Vietnamese and North Vietnamese, long story short, I showed up the next morning and there was dead all over the field. And I walked around and looked at it. I'd been in Vietnam for about 8 or 9 months, and I mean, there was rivers of blood. And after about a half an hour or so, I just sat down and pulled out my sea rations, my beans and balls, cold can, pulled it out, and I ate it. Not a bit of emotion in my body whatsoever, just eating my beans and balls. And folks, that's where we're heading. With Islam and with insane monsters like the Southern Poverty Law Center stepping in and destroying that which is dear to us bona fide Americans, there's coming a time when Islam will force us to fight back. Thank God for Dutch and for his show and what he's doing. You might disagree with Dutch on his case with Shauna, but hey, First Amendment. Let him have his say. That's why we all raised our right hand to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. But the sissies of the Southern Poverty Law Center, yeah, I'm picking on you. You're sissies. You're here to destroy America. You're here to destroy the First Amendment. Run in your mouths. You're going to sue us? Well, rest assured, pal, that there's a bunch of us that are starting to stand on our hind feet. And we're organizing, and we're not afraid of you.
Amen.
A little fired up.
That's a good way to start a show.
Yeah, I can't stand those guys. They're weasels, whiners, and losers. Been to their website and look at all the different people. Yeah, there's a few hate groups out there. Big deal. Biggest hate group in the world is the Southern Poverty Law Center. They hate everything American. They're a disgrace.
Everything Christian.
Amen.
So where do we start from there? What do you got for us tonight, Steve-O?
Well, we've been talking about working with, battle planning, proper theology, arming, linking up with 3 to 5 families, organizing and preparing. And we were talking about NBA last week with the Nods, Bows and Arrows, Gem, Google Earth, Mosques, Map. And so I'm glad that the screwballs of the Southern Poverty Law Center are listening in so that they can actually find out that we are intellectuals, and we do understand what's going on, and we do believe that they are enemies of peace, order, liberty, and prosperity. So we're going to go through the five-paragraph order, battle planning, and walk through it, and then everybody can go online and actually look at it. It's online on Wikipedia. You can look up SMEAC, S-M-E-A-C, the acronym for Situation, Mission, Execution, Administration, Command and Communications, known as the five-paragraph order. And before we do that, since we're dealing with the law written on the heart, the Law of Nations, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10 of the Constitution, which is constitutional, then we should look at Romans 13:4, 13:3, and 13:4, because actually we have a calling to stand up to protect our women and children from these monsters known as Islam coming to destroy us. And we know that they are here by the thousands. I don't think there's millions, maybe a million to 2 million. There's really not that many. But they're funded with such deep pockets through the Saudi Arabians, Qatar, United Arab Emirates. This is all easily demonstrable, easy to prove. Very interesting. So starting with theology, Romans 13, 3 and 4, which addresses Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10 of the Constitution. Romans 13, 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, Southern Poverty Law Center, Muslims, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. In the time of the founding fathers, that was simple to understand. It was very easy for them to understand. If people wanted to come and injure their wives and children, then they would stand up in accordance to what we just read. Overcome evil with good. Today, with the sissies in charge, thinking that every form of self-defense and violence is evil, that's crazy. That is ipso facto insane. Because if somebody comes to rape or harm or murder our wives or children, then for us not to stand up and to be a revenger for God at that point in time is to, well, it's actually to go into 1 Timothy 5:8. For those who don't take care of their family are worse than the infidels. And if you're an infidel, you're not a believer. Now, all of the stuff that I'm speaking tonight is a big confusion for the intellectuals today, Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, Alan Dershowitz, et al. But for us who understand, Dutch and I who've been in combat, we understand it's not cruel, it's not evil. In fact, it's good, wholesome, healthy, and pure for us to protect those we love and adore. It's not a question of hate. When I killed members of the North Vietnamese Army in the Viet Cong, I never hated them. I didn't feel anything for them. In fact, it was a matter of love. I loved my men, and I loved my Constitution, and I loved my way of life so much, I was willing to risk my life and kill enemies who wanted to destroy our way of life. Southern Poverty Law Center et al. Don't understand this, disrespect it, destroy it, tear it down, make up all kinds of artificial nonsense on laws that don't exist, hate crimes which are non-existent. When people come to destroy our family, if we do not stand up and protect them, we do not love them. So I'll take a break, and I know that Dutch will want to say quite a bit.
See, that's the whole thing. They don't hate us because we're doing anything wrong. They hate us because we're doing everything right.
Well put.
They hate us because we are a terror to their evil works.
Perfect.
They support sodomy in the schools. They support everything that is counter to the Bible in our government institutions. They're the ones taking the Ten Commandments out of courthouses. They're the ones going after Judge Roy Moore and destroying him. It's not us. We are not taking a proactive, fist-in-their-face attitude. We're being defensive. Well, where has that gotten us? We're the ones out there saying abortion is evil, ungodliness is evil, corruption is evil, and the problem was we got too loud for a while there, so they went on the attack. And the other thing is you got groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center. They like the money. They like the money. Morris Dees defended Klansmen until he realized there was no money in it. It's legal fact. Go just put Morris Dees and look back at everything he's done. He's the vile man that beats his wife. He's the vile man that doesn't take care of his children, not us. We are the standard by which they are held to, and they hate us for it. It's the same with everything else. The reason Islam hates Christianity is because Islam is a counterfeit religion. If we weren't around, everybody would be Islamic, and they would think that was the only game in town. But with anything that is pure and righteous, like with, you know, good money, there is a counterfeit. The counterfeit are all the enemies of Christ and of liberty. Islam, the Southern Poverty Law Center. And you betcha, once Southern Poverty Law Center finds out that the Muslims have got money, they're going to be defending them in all these civil liberties cases. When their mosques aren't allowed to be built somewhere. When their children are not allowed to wear, bizarre little masks to school. They're going to be right there to step up and defend the evil of Islam. Not because they agree with them or anything, just because they want the money. They're lovers of money, and that is the root of all evil.
Perfect. And that goes right back to SMEAC, Situation, Mission, Execution, Administration, Command and Control. You can look it up on Wikipedia. What Dutch and I have just done is we have gone through the very first step of SMEAC in battle planning. We have described environment. Now, we have not described an environment of jungle or desert, of mountain or of valleys. The environment that we have identified is the overall insanity of what's happening to America today with the political correctness, where you can't even stand up and say man plus woman equals family. You can't even stand up and say that Islam is here to destroy us. You can't tell the truth anymore. So what we've done right now under Situation, the very first part of Situation, if you go online, you can look it up on Wikipedia, you'll see number one, Situation, with the big S, capital Situation. Underneath that, enemy forces. And you can see enemy situation, enemy's capabilities, limitations, the draw, D, defend, reinforce, attack, withdraw, delay. Now, they made it kind of complex. When I was in a million years ago, it wasn't quite this complex, but this is also very good. So under enemy forces, under situation, for example, after Tet, the Battle of Tet in Vietnam, a lot of people don't realize it, but in a very short time, less than, I believe, a week and a half, 200,000 North Vietnamese soldiers who came down into South Vietnam were wiped out. We won. We whooped them. War over. We could have literally marched into Hanoi at that time, but the news media, those politically correct at that day, setting the stage for Southern Poverty Law Center and other un-American people of that nature, came in and started sowing their seeds of discontent, their lies, and things of that nature. So back to situation. The very first thing you look at is environment. Then underneath that situation, you look at who's your friendly forces. Now, a lot of people, they want to look at the enemy first, know your enemy. Well, you got to know your enemy, but you got to know your enemies first. Now, just because somebody's an American citizen doesn't mean they're your friendly. For example, look at the Black Panthers. Look at the Nazis. Look at the Southern Poverty Law Center. These people are not the friends of the Constitution.
Nope.
These are the friends of money, as Dutch pointed out. In fact, in the Leviathan, I'm going to throw out some heavy-hitting stuff in political science tonight. Some of you aren't going to understand it. Southern Poverty Law Center, some of them may or may not understand it. I know they're monitoring. In the book of the Leviathan, which was by Thomas Hobbes, accused of being an atheist. He was not. I believe he was a Puritan. Thomas Hobbes wrote in the book of the Leviathan, which was one of the most influential books in the development of the Constitution, that foreign intrigue, foreign money, is always the Achilles heel of any constitutional republic or any democracy. And certainly I would like to see where the funds are coming in for Southern Poverty Law Center, for the environmentalists and people of this nature. I'm sure it's coming in from a lot of it, from the Muslims. A lot of people think the first thing you have to know is know your enemy. Well, eventually you will, but wouldn't it be nicer to find your Judas Iscariots and your Benedict Arnolds, your Southern Poverty Law Centers first? find these guys, and then you don't deal with them. You don't work with them. You can feed them false information. You can expose them. You can do whatever you want to do. But these people do not think in accordance with the thoughts of our founding fathers. They don't think in accordance with the development of Anglo-American common law. They certainly don't think in accordance with Romans 13:3-4, and that we are called. We are called to be revengers of God properly under the civil magistrate, adhering to the law written on the heart, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, of the in accordance with the law of nations, which was the basis of the Nuremberg trials, which to me is amusing. When I looked at the website with the Southern Poverty Law Center, the first thing I thought was, these guys are impoverished and in poverty. on the knowledge, these guys are bankrupt. They are in poverty when it comes to the development of Anglo-American common law. Oh, they can send out their writs of certiorari, their writs of mandamus, their summons, their subpoenas. They can follow the tweaked, insane due process, or what it's called due process today. They could beat me into a corner real quick, although I've been involved in at least 7 lawsuits. I do pretty good against these characters. But when it comes to the basis of the law, what is the law? The law written on the heart, as we discussed before, agape is the fulfilling of all law, Romans 13:10. Love is the fulfilling of all law. I would throw in the Southern Poverty Law Center in with the Muslims, and that Maseo is the fulfilling of the Southern Poverty Law Center and Muslims. Maseo is Greek for hate. These right. people hate that which is good. These are the people who are destroying our military by bringing in the queers and the other people. And we know immediately the first thing they did when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, they go after a full Navy captain to destroy his career.
Right.
Rest assured, the evil, wicked ones in the military, through the process and help of the Southern Poverty Law Center, will drive the few remaining patriots out of the military as fast as they can. And I'll take a pause here.
Well, as warriors of Christ, which comes down to it, it doesn't matter what opponent we're facing, whether it's the issues on the border, issues, you know, the fact that we have an illegal alien for president, corrupt Congress, corrupt judicial, and then in our states, all the problems we have in our states, it doesn't matter who the enemy is. It's how we conduct ourselves that matters. We must be Coram Deo. Now, Coram Deo, C-O-R-E-M-D-E-O. That's Latin for in the face of God. We must continue to conduct ourselves in the face of God. So as we confront our enemies, we must remember always to fight in a Christian manner. Now, that doesn't mean that on the battlefield we don't fly the black flag. Quantrill and his raiders during the War of Northern Aggression, they flew a black flag with a little Q up in the corner to let the federal aggressors know, to let the bandits that were coming across and killing Confederate men and women and children know that if you are caught on the battlefield, there will be no quarter. That is a Christian dogma. That's a Christian doctrine. You go into the Old Testament, you will find where God has told his soldiers, kill every last one of them. Every sheep, every goat, every mother's child, and even the king. Do not spare the king. And his soldiers have come back, and God's like, I hear cows mooing and sheep bring. Oh, well, it's not my fault. The soldiers didn't follow your orders. And that's not the way it goes. You've got to obey the Lord in those different battles. And so we've got to have the right mindset. And the way we get to that mindset is through small unit action training. Code 20, every zip code, 20 militia people ready to defend the holy cause of liberty. Notice I say the holy cause of liberty. For all you militia guys listening out there that are not Christian, I know you guys don't like me. I get the emails. You're pushing the Christian stuff too hard. You're not going to win without God on your side. But we don't pray that God should be on our side. We pray that we should be on God's side. Does that make sense?
Perfect. Yeah, that black flag, no quarter, once again, that goes right back to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, the law of the nations, the law of nations, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10. Rules of engagement come right from this. Rules of engagement come from agape is the fulfilling of all law. When the pirates of the Alamo, I'm hitting hard, you guys in Texas, but you got to follow with me. Don't get mad at me. Just listen to what I'm saying. when Santa Ana came against the Davy Crockett and the guys in the Alamo, under the doctrine of the Law of Nations, which Mexico had signed off on, and the United States had in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, and all the European Christian nations had, if you were a pirate, you were acting outside of the scope of governmental authority. You were acting outside of the scope of a declaration of war. A declaration of war, also found in Article 1, Section 8, Article 1, Section 8, is there as a blanket amnesty so that when Dutch and myself go out as citizens, soldiers of the United States, and we make mistakes, we get in a crossfire, which happened to me in Vietnam, and women and children get killed. It bothers me today, but under the blanket amnesty, if I was doing everything properly in accordance with the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice, if kids and women got killed, that's all part of the gig. The guilt is on the head of Congress, not on the young kids. Today we flipped that in Afghanistan and Iraq. So what the Coram Deo, the face of God, the black flag, no quarter, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10. Once again, I could go to the Southern Poverty Law Center right now and ask them, can you please define the Law of Nations? And I'll bet you they couldn't.
No.
They absolutely couldn't. And yet, they're willing to go out and destroy us on everything we do. Our action in Iraq, our action in Afghanistan, I opposed it. I don't think we did it properly. I believe in the War Powers Act, I think it was 1973, where Congress delegated its authority to the president to go out and start wars. I don't agree with that. And also, in 1 Timothy 1:8, that is known as an unlawful use of law. I was debating with a constitutional attorney the other day, and he said, well, Steve, we're a representative government, and our Congress gave that power over to the president. I said, look, they don't have the authority that's given to them in the Constitution, and even though they had a two-thirds majority, they still don't do it because the president is the commander-in-chief and the Congress is we the people, and you have a division of power there on purpose, and when you conflate or bring the powers together, making the commander-in-chief the same guy that's in charge of deciding if they go to war or not, then you become a bully, which I think is what we did in Iraq and Afghanistan. We've talked about this before, but I want to get back to, we're talking about SMEAC, and the rules of engagement, there has to be a doctrine of restrained violence, a doctrine of restrained violence, which is a Christian concept.
Mm-hmm.
In Nehemiah chapter 4, when Nehemiah stood before his enemy, the Arabians, the fathers of our enemies, the Muslims today, he stood there with an iron sword and let them know, if you try to injure my people, I will have to attack you. But isn't it interesting, he never had to attack. And rule number one, the laws of nature, Thomas Hobbes, the Leviathan, who also wrote the Behemoth. Rule number one is always seek peace. But Southern Poverty Law Center, Quakers, and other people of this nature, by showing that they will not use the sword, that they will not be a revenger of God, are inviting the satanic forces of Islam and the Nazis using useful idiots like the Southern Poverty Law Center. You can imagine, if they're listening to me right now, they're probably going, whoa, this guy is pounding us from every direction.
Yeah, well, taking all kinds
comrades,
of notes.
I'm just getting warmed up.
Right.
So, the doctrine of restrained violence. For example, when Dutch and I captured prisoners in the two wars that we were in, as soon as they surrendered, and they were unarmed, and they were docile, we treated them with love. Now, I know for a lot of you out there, you're thinking, this is crazy. Look, I'm telling you right now, after fighting them all night long and capturing them, after we subdued them, and we made sure that they weren't going to injure us, we bound up their wounds, we fed them, and if we had to, we put them on helicopters and took them back to Army and Navy bases to patch up their wounds, because we operate under the doctrine of restrained violence. Example, when my son was blown up by a suicide bomber and shot up, I had told him time and time again, I had taught him, do not let the Muslims capture you, because if they do, they do not have a doctrine of restrained violence. They do not have a law of nations. They do not have the law written on the heart. They do not have love as the fulfilling of all law. They have hate as the fulfilling of all law. And I told my son, if they capture you alive, they will put you on video, and they will slowly cut your head off. And that kept my son alive, kept him alive, and he was able to turn the attack and turn it back on the monsters of hell from Islam, and he saved 17 of the 18 soldiers. He saved their lives. Now, that is manly.
Yes.
That is Christ-like. That is in accordance with Romans 13, 3 and 4. He was a revenger of God. And as soon as he was done and stopped them, he did not kill any more. Just as Dutch and I and the guys in World War II, the Korean War, 99.9% of the guys in Vietnam, we all acted in accordance with that. Islam destroys that, and with a perversion of injustice by the Southern Law Poverty Center, they destroy that too.
Yes, they do. They do. And when we reach out to little old ladies and people who haven't had any military training or people that are living in fear in the inner cities because of the world that places like the Southern Poverty Law Center have created by arming and empowering the enemies of Christ and the hoodle dudes that live out there, they point their bony finger at us and call us the villains. And that compounds their unrighteousness. And they're the ones creating war criminals, not us. They back the Muslims in Kosovo. And we're not the ones violating even basic laws. We're not even talking about the law of nature, the law written on the heart, just the laws of man. They write these laws, put up these institutions, create things like the Geneva Convention, and they violate it and promote those people who violate it, all for corporate gain. And I hate using the word corporate because I sound like a lefty, but that's basically it. It's for fleshy gain, for humanist gain. When they find out what we're going to be doing up here in the end of January, they're going to go nuts.
Well, you're really well put on that, the corporate gain, the fleshly gain. You can Google Eisenhower, and I know a lot of people, they don't like Eisenhower. You know what, guys? It's time to cut a little slack. We all make mistakes. Dutch, it's hard to believe. Even my wife, even my grandchildren make mistakes.
Yeah, we all do.
We all do. And Eisenhower, he did nail one thing in accordance with what Dutch said. Beware the military-industrial complex. If you go online and you Google it, and you can actually listen to the speech, beware the military-industrial complex. It is fascinating. He talks about how in the old days we used to come in and the lone inventor would create things, but then after World War II, with the ramping up of the illegal professional military, because I don't believe in the professional military except for the Navy.
Navy and the Marines.
And the Marines, and that's to protect us from pirates. And once again, that goes back to the law of nations. But once you build a big bureaucracy, then you invite, once again, the Achilles heel of every constitutional republic and democracy is always foreign intrigue, foreign money. Now, Eisenhower had no idea it was going to be the Muslims, the Saudi Arabians, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, et al., coming in and funding and buying off, picking off all of our leaders, which they have done. And I'm sure the Southern Poverty Law Center is part of that also. But all of these guys have come in now, and I saw it firsthand. As when I became an officer, I was enlisted in Vietnam, then I became an officer in the Marine Corps. I saw the military-industrial defense complex operating. I saw the retired officers coming in, networking with their other active-duty fellow officers who would buy their military products, etc. And now the Saudi Arabians, they own so much of our defense contractor businesses that the Saudis don't even have to file as foreign agents and lobbyists. They just use the different defense contractors that they use their employees to go and lobby for them. But it gets back to what Dutch said on the corporate side. If you look up AramcoExpats.com and look at these really highly paid people in the United States dressing up like Bedouins and women in burqas and veils, thinking it's really funny while they make $100,000 to several million dollars a year. Dutch is absolutely right. Now, we operate off of the truth, and once again, agape is the fulfilling of all law. And so, actually, that keeps us small. It keeps us lean. Mm-hmm. It keeps us thinking. It keeps us going back to the Lord. and in his face, quorum Deo, as I love to hear Dutch say that. And so we have a small group growing right now, but it's international. It's in a number of the states. It's growing really well. People are starting to figure out the worst thing for Islam and their public relations lying is Islam. They're like a monster that just can't control themselves. And you can see it more and more. More honor killings, more suicide bombings, killing the 21 people in the Egyptian church the other day, murdering all the people in the Iraqi church and all these other
things. It's cranking up.
Pardon?
It's all cranking up against Christians over there.
Preach it, man. Go for it. It's a good place for me to turn it over to you.
Sure. I mean, they're just targeting after target. They're cutting their teeth there now. We knew this was going to happen after we meddled in over there. They are furious at the great white devil America, and what better way to do it than go after the Christians? They want our soldiers to be dragged back into that battle in Iraq. They know if they kill Christians, they ring a doorbell, blow up a Christian old couple, that all the wimpy Christians over here are going to, oh, we got to send our troops back. That's the only way they're going to engage our soldiers, is if they keep doing these brutal, unhonorable attacks. We don't need to send our troops over there, but we need to arm and prepare those Christians over there. They need the Pope this week. Oh, I'm really mad that they're killing Christians, but yet he won't allow his Christians to fight back. The cops in the Coptic Christians in Egypt are demanding protection. They shouldn't be demanding protection. They should be arming themselves. They should be becoming good men and women of Christ and defending the weak and meek among them in their neighborhoods. It should be the attitude that no Muslim will walk into a Coptic neighborhood for fear of being beheaded. Did I go too far?
Preach it. Sounds very loving to me. Well, it's really interesting. Dutch and me will be the first to confirm when we go out and we legally adhere to the First Amendment, peaceably assembling to petition the government for redress of grievances. People take one look at me and Dutch. They don't mess with us. They go after the little old 80-year-old guy that weighs 85 pounds, and they get into his face because they're cowards. They're satanic.
Yeah.
They're probably charter members of the Southern Poverty Law Center. They don't have the balls to stand up and act like men. And once again, that goes right back to Romans 13, 3 and 4. On the nature of laws in general, as written in Blackstone's commentaries, volumes 1 and 2, he talks extensively about the law of nations. It's very interesting. He talks about the law, nature's law, nature's God, which is the Protestant God that we're talking about. If you read the unabridged version of Alexis de Tocqueville's Democracy in America.
Great book.
It's almost 800 pages long. He talks extensively about the Protestants, the cold, stony soil, the cold-hearted Protestants of New England, the Calvinists. It's really interesting. He said, never has there been a republic with so many laws with a death penalty, and yet it's never been exercised. Now, let me repeat that. Blackstone says, never has there been a republic with so many laws advocating capital punishment, but they never kill anybody. It's really fascinating when you look at the Puritans. All right, they had their witch huntings. Hey, look, we kill, 4,000 kids a day we murder, and we're going to hold these guys down on one aberration? But that's what the law, Southern Law Poverty Center and all the other alleged intellectuals do. They find one mole on a face. I like to use this description. Yeah, they find one mole on the face and then they say the whole body is corrupt.
Yeah.
The overarching purpose of education is to transmit the wisdom of our ancestors to every child, that we might all live in a land with the highest degree of peace, order, liberty, and prosperity. So when all of these great pseudo-intellectuals say, well, we're a young nation, China, Japan, India, Iraq, all of these are ancient nations. I just ask them, so tell me, in the 6,000 years of recorded history, which one of these ancient nations ever produced a country with peace, order, liberty, and prosperity? Name me one. Israel, United States, the reformed countries. It's very fascinating. In those reformed countries and Israel, ancient Israel, not today's secular, atheistic Israel, ancient Israel, not today.
Right. I'm glad you clarified that. I was creeping into the mic.
Not today. All of those guys, they first look to love as the fulfilling of the law. They look to the And that's how the basis of the Law of Nations was formed. The Law of Nations really was put into full process when the Barbary pirates were put down by Jefferson working with Adams, and they found out that it was when they met with the leader of Tangier, I believe it was, the ambassador, and they said, Jefferson and John Adams asked them, why are you capturing our ships and enslaving our men? What have we done to you? And the guy said, what do you mean? You're infidels. You're kafir. You're infidels. You're kafir. You're open game. It was the Muslims repeatedly attacking that caused Europe to be known as Christendom, the domain of Christ, and the domain, the dominion, the law of Europe, Christendom, was based on the Law of Nations.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I'll close on this and hand it back over to you. All of these guys, all of these pseudo-intellectuals say, well, that was then, but it won't work now. Huh. Can't do that now because now we have multiculturalism and diversity. Well, I would say the federal system is pretty much dead, and the 50 states will fall apart as we look for a common law, a law written on the heart. But my real response to these pseudo-intellectuals is, gee whiz, it worked from the time that the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock until about the end of the Vietnam War. It worked really good, and I have Department of Defense documents, Dutch has seen them and Pastor Warren, where it says the Constitution is based on the law written on the heart as codified by the Ten Commandments. Dutch has seen that. It's right there. It worked for hundreds of years. It worked through Christendom. It worked for all of the stuff. It's very amazing to me how we have to put up with these pseudo-intellectuals who are just, in my mind, they're insane. That's the way I see it.
Well, and I'll use one of their terms. Just because the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age, is all that means, those idiots putting that video out there condemning Christianity, the zeitgeist is that was then, this is now. The Bible teaches us clearly, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just because they keep changing the rules of the game doesn't mean we change the basic foundations of what we are to do and how we are to do them. Getting things back on track is our goal. The goal is to return things to, like you said, ancient Israel, modern America, the few free Christian nations of the world. And a lot of nations are under attack all at one time. And we are definitely, and I believe this, our back is up against the ropes in the world. America, we still have a fighting chance. Because as we talked about MPH, Muslims per host, we're not to 3% yet. 2 to 3 million, you know, whatever it is. But as they're flowing over our borders, the unknown numbers, the Muslims, we just were talking earlier in the last hour about how in Greece they're putting up a wall to keep the Turkish Muslims out, the Kosovar Muslims out, the African Muslims out of Greece. That 90% of the illegal aliens coming into the EU are coming in through Greece. They wanted to build a 170-mile-long wall. Europe said no, they're going to build an 8-mile wall. They're complicit in their own downfall.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought up the Kosovar Muslims. Kosovo was carved out of Serbia. It was a Serbian Muslim who killed the Archduke Ferdinand in World War One, that precipitated World War One, that set the stage for World War Two, and it was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem who helped organize the Yugoslavian Albanians, the Muslim Serbs, the Bosnians in particular, were the shock troops that replaced a lot of the German soldiers killed on the Russian front. And Hitler actually aided and abetted, met and worked with the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, gave him sanction, and named him, I believe, as at least a general, if not a field marshal, in charge of all the Bosnian guys. And they're the ones that did the most heinous crimes against the Jewish people and the Gypsies and the Kafirs, once again, going right back to Islam. And then you got morons like the Southern Poverty Law Center, aiding and abetting, thinking that they're so wise, become fools, helping out the Bosnians in the Bosnian War and helping us support Al-Qaeda in Bosnia, which I have proof. I have Al-Qaeda Bosnian battle flags when my kid was in Bosnia years ago, and he stood down a group And then we found out a few years later, my son's army unit was aiding and abetting, was supporting the Muslim, Al-Qaeda supported, against the Christians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So once again, here we go helping the Bosnians, and we help the Muslims, the Kosovars, and the first thing they do is, what does Islam always do? Maseo is the fulfilling of Sharia law. Hate is the fulfilling of Sharia law. And they immediately go into jihad. We're in the third great jihad now. The third great jihad began in 1973 in the Yom Kippur War, the first time in the history of Saudi Arabia they had excess surplus capital. And instead of putting it into hospitals and schools and ambulances and protecting and aiding widows and orphans, what'd they do? They supported the killing of men so that they could create widows and orphans, and then they could rape them and murder them and do all of the other things. And then, of course, they looked to the Southern Poverty Law Center and the other screwball pseudo-intellectuals to help them out and defend them, as in the case of the 9/11 families when they sued, trying to get a little reparation for what happened there, too.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to be an entity, a group, a movement, when our own governments are hand-in-hand against us, working both overseas and within our own borders.
That's easily provable. I saw that a couple of years ago when I went back and I was advising the Marine Corps. I was paid $500 an hour. There you go. Write that one down, Southern Poverty Law Center. I was paid $500 an hour to advise the Marines on how I operated in Vietnam under the Combined Action Program. You can look that up on Wikipedia also. And when I saw how the Marine commanders hated what, they just hated any kind of an idea where we would support Christians, it was amazing. I had never seen anything like it. It was disgusting, needless to say. I didn't last long. The guy that I had to run in with was a full colonel carrying a Quran. And I heard from several of my other colonel friends that they think he had converted to Islam, and some of the questions he asked me before class, I'm convinced. See, he had gone to Saudi Arabia for a number of years, and they wined and dined him on the PMS, power, money, and sex, and who knows, you know, what kind of benefits and things he got. There was another guy, full general, four-star general in the Marine Corps, General Zinni, Z-I-N-N-I, Anthony Zinni. He was all shot up in Vietnam, but he became the commander of CENTCOM, and part of that was going down and living with the Saudi Arabians, and once again, I mean, the guy lived in like a palace, and he got all kinds of PMS, power, money, and sex, all kinds of stuff. And then when currently deceased Senator Stevens from Alaska went on a fact-finding coup, or what do you call them?
Junket?
Junket. There you go, junket. And to Saudi Arabia, General Zinni actually stood between the Saudi Arabian royal family and the other senators and protected the Saudi Arabian family so that Stevens and the Senate really couldn't get any information. And, of course, we know that the Saudi Arabians are funding at least 80% of the mosques in the United States with their hate is the fulfilling of all law, and that's easily provable too. All of this stuff is right there. So, once again, if we don't really love the First Amendment, if we really don't love, you know, being able to peaceably assemble to petition the government for redress of grievances based on religion, that's why it says freedom of religion. That religion was there under the Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, the law of nations, the law written on the heart, so that people made moral decisions, as we said last week, Dutch. Remember we said technology without morality is merely genocide. It always becomes genocidal mortality. Technology without morality always becomes genocidal mortality. Let me state that law without the law written on the heart leads to supporting genocidal mortality, and I point my finger at the Southern Poverty Law Center right now, and I accuse them of supporting genocide and the destruction of the family and the destruction of all that is good, natural, and wholesome. I accuse them of that right now.
Exactly. Well, we see the problem, we see the precedents, we see the players. small unit actions, small unit training. Where do they start? Where do you want them to start? I mean, you know, I don't know if you want to go into what we're doing up here. I have no problem with it if you want to discuss it. I mean, the best way to populate it is, you know, do that. Where do you start? How do you start with a small group?
Yeah, with a small group, once again, it becomes with, all of a sudden, it's like 1 out of 1,000 people understand it. And then it's taken me 11 years to get to where I am right now, and our group is very small. But it's also growing rapidly, and now all of a sudden the network is starting to spread out because people, now they're becoming aware. It's like December the 8th, 1941. The day after Pearl Harbor, all of the people who were saying, oh, you know, it's no big deal, the Japanese, if we're nice to them, they'll be nice to us, we can all get along. And then you have Pearl Harbor, and then all of a sudden a lot of people's eyes are open. Now, I went to school with the Japanese here in California, with the Niseis. I went to school with the Japanese. And we got along well, and I knew their fathers who'd been in the fighting 442nd, the most decorated army regiment in the history of World War II. Dutch, you might have met a couple of those guys. And
I've run into Buddha heads down in Orange and Riverside County. I've done some Veterans Day stories on them.
Yeah, you know, the World War II guys, while they didn't like it, they understood it, and it's interesting that once again, under our law, the Japanese brought a lawsuit, and I think they were only in internment for a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and they were released. What other country in the world has ever done that?
Yeah, do you see a bunch of Jews suing the Reichstag to get out of Auschwitz?
Exactly. Exactly. What other country in the world has ever done that? What other country in the world has ever taken and supported a minority who was unfairly treated, the black people, and fought a war killing 600,000 people to end it? I know there's some disagreements on that, but still in all, it does exist. The war did happen. What other people in the history of the world, in the Revolutionary War, Elizabeth Freeman sued her master, won the case. She was a black slave. Slavery immediately ended in the Revolutionary War. Now, that all goes back to the law written on the heart. There's going to be differences.
Yeah.
I don't have any problems with Contrail. I happen to be I look at the law. Well, here's a good example. States' rights are great as long as they're in accordance with inalienable rights.
Sure.
Which are the law written on the heart. So I have no problem with that, and it's IAW in accordance with. Still, we're going to have differences. Even though the Supreme Court in 1857, 7 voted for legal non-person status for the blacks, 2 voted against it. Still and all, we can still work through that stuff. And if it gets too far, though, once the Muslim is in the country, a bona fide Muslim does one of two things. One, he follows what would Muhammad do, making him an enemy of everyone who's not a Muslim. Or two, he adheres to Sharia law, which is merely the codification of what did Muhammad do, which, once again, makes him an enemy of everyone who is not a Muslim. So by definition, by legal definition, a Muslim is an enemy to all peaceful people of the world, period, bar none. We cannot coexist with them because their thought, their religion, their passion is based on Maseo, is the fulfilling of all law. Hate is the fulfilling of all law. I'll repeat that definition of education, and then I'll hand it over to you. The overarching purpose of education is to transmit the wisdom of our ancestors to every child that we might all live in a land with the highest degree of peace, order, liberty, and prosperity. Anybody who opposes peace, order, liberty, and prosperity, to me, I'm going to look at them sideways.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're going to try to kill our families, which is Islam, which is Muhammad, which is 14 centuries, and actually it goes all the way back to the book of Genesis 6,000 years ago of recorded history, it's real simple to prove, real simple.
Yeah, it's funny. They try and confuse the battle with smoke and lies and mirrors and everything. The fact of it is, WWMD, what would Muhammad do? What would Jesus do? Compare those two factors. Compare those two phrases. And it's obvious that they are out to destroy us and make us bow. And people will say, well, Christianity says they're going to go into the world and spread the gospel to everybody. But we're not doing it at the barrel of a gun. We're not chopping off heads. We're not telling people convert or die. You're confusing Christianity with early Catholicism, and even some would say current Catholicism. I don't think they have the kind of power anymore they used to actually bring a poleaxe into the jungle and kill anybody. But you've got to understand the clear-cut differences. We are spreading love and liberty. They are spreading hate and slavery. Ask about honor killings. Do some research. There's a case going on right now where a guy ran down his daughter. Because she was too westernized. I heard the 911 call last night, or night before, I think it was, on Fox, of the two girls being shot to death by their father for wearing makeup while she was on the phone in America. We cannot allow them to bring this vile, savage religion. Would we allow Mayans and Aztecs to build a temple in Ohio and start ripping the hearts out of babies to their sun god today? There is not a freedom of religion in this country. Period. There is a Christian nation that allows certain Christian sects to exist. To say that they have a freedom of religion, that's why America is so great. No. I don't want Mayans and Aztecs and leopard soldiers running around, do you?
Perfect. Yeah, the freedom of religion, like freedom of speech, is not absolute. We cannot falsely cry fire in a crowded theater, Schenck versus the United States, 1919. And Dutch and I cannot go out and start the first cannibalistic church of Southern California where we kill little children, dismember them on the altar, and we eat them. Religion is not absolute, and it is the duty of the state under the First Amendment to regulate it, and safety first, safety first, safety first is also always the first thing. So, Dutch, what does the individual do? Well, I've got a lot of people who listen, and they're by themselves. And I just tell them, look, it took me years and years and years, but proper theology, we just talked about it tonight. Southern Poverty Law Center does not have proper theology. They're basically a bunch of insane, uneducated people. We have the proper theology. You arm yourself, and then you just try to find 3 to 5 families. Everybody thinks they got to find all 50 states, the feds, they got to find 1 million. Just find 3 to 5. If you can only find one, that's one more than you had yesterday. Then you organize based on the 4 organic documents of America, the Mayflower Compact, Declaration of Independence, Article 3 of the Northwest Ordinance of 1784, ratified first thing, 1787 Constitutional Convention, and the Constitution minus slavery. If it takes you the rest of your life to find one other family, what else are you going to do? Drink beer and watch football? Well, I am. I'm going to go in there and watch Ohio and Arkansas here in a few seconds.
I don't even know. I didn't even know football was still going. Well, we've got the music going to be rolling here in a minute. We're almost done. Just keep listening here. We have open trainings here at the Church of Kaweah. I know the rest of you are on the other side of the planet, but if you're in the area, we're going to do trainings. I'm going to continue to train the third weekend of every month. Anyone that will come here, I will give you training. It's open to the public. There will be training that we will charge for. You'll find out about that in the future. We've been doing that here since the beginning of the church. But the opportunities are there. Use the website, dutchjones.info. Go to the I thought you'd already started it, Lou. Go to the forum. Network there. Use the chat room. Find each other. Every couple of days, people say, hey, I'm here and I don't know where anybody's at. At the very least, go to the Black Robe Regiment. Go to the Black Robe Regiment. Look for good patriotic pastors. Test the water. Find a good church. Find good people. Well, Steve, thank you. I'm glad you did this. Remember, it's abolishislam.com, abolishislam.com. And check out dutchjones.info. If you like what you're hearing here, we need your financial support. There's no other way around it. We will not be on next month. I already used family money to pay for most of last month. If you like what you're hearing here, you got to kick it in. Nothing comes easy. Nothing's for free. So there we go. Well, have a nice night and enjoy your football, Steve.
Thanks. God bless. Great show.
God bless you too, brother. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, and victory belongs to the Lord.